Welcome to Discover Joyous Love with Anita DeFrancesco as your host. This is a hybrid of topics under the subjects of mindfulness, sexuality, and relationships. Hello, this is episode 34, and the topic today is the Donna Gentile story, a true crime book that I've authored on a first cousin of mine who was murdered in San Diego in 1985. The Donna Gentile story, a shocking tale of abuse, corruption, and murder within the San Diego Police Department. Her autopsy was the first to be sealed in the city of San Diego. Why? And it is still sealed today, 35 years later, as me, the family, are looking for answers. March 1985, Las Colinas Jail, Donna predicted her own murder. June 1985, Donna was left murdered with a mouth full of rocks to silence her voice. It's Your Voice is the logo that I have created for this because she had a voice and was silenced, and we will get into the details. The 22-year-old Philadelphia native, an innocent teenaged runaway, victim of prostitution, aka sex work, street worker. She is my first cousin, turned in a cop for sexual harassment, and her court testimony got two policemen fired, one of which the lieutenant got his job back, but the police officer was permanently fired. And she recorded her voice on a tape for CBS television and begged not to be released from jail in fear that the cops were waiting for her. She cried out for help, but was betrayed by those we put in power to serve and protect. Someone wanted to silence Donna, but who? Well, here's some background on her story, on her life. First of all, this is a San Diego story that is still looming over the San Diego community. 35 years later, San Diego and us, the family here in Philadelphia, would like some answers. It is a dormant story that has been dormant way too long. It is time to uncover, unfold, dig out the answers. When Donna Gentile, my first cousin, the author of my book, The Donna Gentile Story, escaped from a home for delinquent girls in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and made her way to San Diego, she had big dreams. There was alleged sexual abuse going on in the family, and the mother didn't believe her is the reason why she ran away. She worked in security for a while as a security guard, because at the age of 17 in 1985, you needed some type of education to get a job then, or something. It just wasn't easy to get jobs if you were 17 years old. And she decided to work as a security guard because she wasn't on drugs and she was personable and people liked her. She really had a nice personality. She was an average girl that just stumbled into this streetwalker life of prostitution to survive. Now, when she worked in security for a while, she dreamed of joining the police department. She had aspirations of becoming a policewoman herself, working in law enforcement. She was infatuated with that work. But things didn't work out as she planned. Donna, like many other innocent runaways, became a victim of the streetwalker life. While in survivor mode, she was groomed, exploited, and coerced into prostitution, a path that took control of her life and ultimately led to her death at the age of 22. But it wasn't the life of prostitution or serial killers that ended her life. It was her entanglement with the San Diego Internal Affairs and law enforcement that ended her life. The people that were her friends, that were to protect her and that she looked to, that received her, that took her under the wing and wanted to make her get off the streets. The motive came from that group of people, or someone close to that group of people, is why she was murdered. It had nothing to do with her being a prostitute, because this is, they claim that a serial killer may have done it, but that's not the case. It's just a fabricated story because they're looking to continually hide this story and keep it buried. So Donna allowed herself to be befriended by several police officers, thinking that this would afford her some protection in her dangerous life in the streets. Instead, she was harassed, and she was ultimately victimized by some of the same police to whom she had turned to for help. But Donna was a fighter. Rather than taking the abuse, which included sexual harassment, she reported it to the San Diego Police Department. She testified against two officers, one of whom lost his job on account of her testimony. Her life became further complicated when the Internal Affairs Division later exploited and coerced her to becoming a police confidential corruption informant. Before she became an informant, she testified against the two police. And then after is when she became the informant. But at one point, after she testified against the two police, she was murdered, found weeks later murdered with gravel stuffed in her mouth. And her autopsy was the first and only to be sealed in San Diego. Someone wanted to silence Donna, but who? Let's take a listen here to what some of the prosecutors have to say about the rumors of the police killing prostitutes or even Donna. But her case was quite different than other prostitutes that may have been murdered. Let's take a listen here.
Complicating the investigation were rumors that police officers might have been involved in a murder or two.
I can state flatly that no police officers were involved in the murder of any prostitutes.
The most high-profile victim was Donna Gentile, a prostitute and police informant. For years, rumors persisted that some San Diego police officers had a hand in her murder. When her friend Cynthia Main disappeared, there were more questions about cops. But the task force says this man killed Gentile and perhaps her friend. Ronald Porter is already serving time for killing another woman in the same series of murders.
The evidence we have would certainly preclude us from prosecuting anyone else. So your question is well taken, but are we about to charge him? No, not at this time.
The task force says Porter may be responsible for 13 of the unsolved murders and that there may never be enough evidence to prosecute him on any of them.
But because of the circumstances surrounding her death, people in the community and the press have assumed or suspected that maybe police officers were responsible for her killing. And that's been going on for years and years and years. By naming Mr. Porter as a suspect, it kind of takes a monkey off their back, and very conveniently.
The DA praised the task force, calling it the most effective agency of its kind in the country. By phone, a former sheriff's investigator disagrees.
I think to accept that task force is the most successful task force in the country is an absurd statement.
Streed, one of the original members of the task force, was yanked from the agency. He says the San Diego Police Department got involved in the murder investigations for only one reason, damage control.
Well, there certainly was an indication in the course of that investigation of motives to cover up. I had contacted police officers that were told that if they were caught talking to me, they would lose their jobs.
The task force says 26 of the 43 murders are now solved. The five-year effort is winding down for good. Liz Purcell, News 8.
I want to talk to you about the cover of my book. Donna is best known as San Diego's NHI murder victim. She was the billboard photo. Artists were outraged when they found out about her murder, when she reported a policeman and got two policemen fired, and she's later found with gravel stuffed in her mouth, murdered in a dark, lonely mountain of San Diego on a ravine. Now, this NHI means No Humans Involved, which is an old East Coast police term that was found in detective magazines, but it's this predominantly used term in San Diego and Los Angeles to label victims that what they call the wagon of drunks, the people whose lives didn't matter, that were transients, runaways, biker chicks, prostitutes, drug addicts, even racial status played a part in the NHI back in the day. But it is still predominant acronym used in California, No Humans Involved. And the artist made the billboard, which is on the cover of my book, and they faced it to the San Diego Police Department in an outrage, pouring out, saying that her life mattered just because she was a prostitute, a street worker, didn't mean she didn't have a family or deserved to have a life. So there's a lot of controversy around all of this with with her being a woman and her being a trailblazer and carved a path for women at that time because she had a voice and walked in to save herself without the Gloria Allreds, et cetera, et cetera. Back in the day, we didn't have all of these women attorneys and support that we have today. And I say in the current climate of Me Too, even though Me Too is a certain criteria of women and it has its own thing, it's still a person who had a voice. But then again, she was very judged and is why she was murdered, because she was murdered because they could do it because she was a prostitute and she worked in the streets and they felt that her life didn't matter and is why the artists came together. Now, keeping in mind, Donna befriended these police officers. The lieutenant, who she got fired, took her under the wing, wanted to help her make a better life for herself. And she was very received by a lot of the San Diego community, especially that she did have a regular job as a security guard. And when she didn't do that, she worked the streets. And then in other times, she had the aspirations to wanting to become a police officer one day. She had a horse. She had a lawyer. She was friendly with lawyers and lots of different people that had status. And Donna was not your ordinary street girl on drugs. She just wasn't. It was her way that she needed to eat. She needed to put a roof over her head. And this was, at this time, she was, like I said, groomed and exploited and coerced into this. What else is a woman going to do? So basically, you could say that she was sex trafficked amongst the police, if you want to get into that way. But women acquiesce. They acquiesce, especially when you're dealing with authority. But authority were her friends, and police were her friends, but in the end, they betrayed her. And the artist came with this billboard. And so this is a book that you'll have to read. It has many, many layers here. But I wanted to bring in a clip here about the gravel being stuffed in her mouth and what investigative reporter from CBS San Diego, David Gopperson, is interviewing Detective Dr. Thomas Street, and what he has to say about the gravel being stuffed in her mouth as one of the officers that she had gotten fired says that sometimes they put the gravel in the mouth to prevent them from screaming. But Detective Dr. Thomas Street disagrees. Let's listen here.
Okay, gravel in her mouth. Larry Averick says putting the gravel in the mouth of a rape victim is fairly common. He's seen it in other crimes, and it's done to keep the victim from screaming. What do you make of that?
It's a crock.
Why?
Because it doesn't happen in that as frequently as that. I've investigated virtually hundreds of sexual assault cases, and it is very, very rare. And it's very rare, as a matter of fact, as far as homicide victims are concerned. Having rocks or gravel or some such thing tapped down to an individual's windpipe is very, very unusual, and it is very rare. I don't care what Mr. Averick says. The gravel wasn't just something that was basically forced into her mouth. It was literally tamped down her throat. The cause of death was asphyxia, even though her neck had been fractured at the second cervical vertebrae. The problem is there is no evidence of a police involvement, although she was on the payroll for the Internal Affairs Division of the San Diego Police Department, informing them of police officers. She was targeted. Is that the reason she was murdered? I don't know, but it certainly is a consideration.
Donna, needless to say, was very scared because after she had testified against two policemen being fired, now her life was in danger. And her and the one police officer had a lot of conflict, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of battles, so to speak, where it was the power of the badge and the power of courage that were in conflict. And Donna, of course, he was the power of the badge, and she was the power of conflict. I mean, the power of courage. Sorry, excuse me, the power of courage. And she fought and fought. And while she was in that jail, she made a tape. And the tape said, "My life." She asked her lawyer to give this tape to the press, CBS, in case she disappeared. Here is her exact words. "My life is in danger when I get out." She says, okay, I'll read from the beginning. "In case I disappear somewhere or am missing, I want my lawyer to give this to the press because of the publicity that I have given a police scandal. This is the reason why I'm making this. I feel someone in a uniform with a badge can still be a serious criminal." So her life was in danger, she says in the letter that I have in the book, that when she gets out, that she fears for her life. And the neighbors and the community were telling her to leave town, but she couldn't. She had a horse, Fantasia. A spirit love of an animal that is very difficult, especially when you're in the life that she was in at that time. And that was her only affectionate, emotional, you know, connection was this spirit animal, a horse, Fantasia. So she eventually stayed in town and was preparing to leave. But before she could get out is when she was found murdered. And this was a very tragic moment for our family and for the San Diego community, because there's so much curiosity around this. Why is her autopsy the only autopsy in San Diego to be sealed? And why can't we get it open? So her testimony, now she says in the book that she reported one of the officers for sexual harassment. Needless to say, she was involved in a scandal with a few different policemen. But let's take a listen here as to what one of the other reporters is saying, that why the officer was fired from her testimony. And let's listen to that clip.
22-year-old Donna Gentile, a convicted prostitute, 2 weeks ago. Her body, discovered near Pine Valley, had been badly beaten and strangled. There was no sign of a struggle. There are no suspects. 5 weeks earlier, Gentile had testified at former police officer Larry Averick's hearing. Averick, fired from the police department in January, was trying to get his job back.
He was fired because he provided a known prostitute with inappropriate information about what police activities were going to be taking place along El Cajon Boulevard in regard to prostitution.
For what purpose?
For the purpose of keeping her from being arrested by undercover operations.
Gentile claimed Averick also had sex with her, but that could not be substantiated. Averick says he was using Gentile to obtain information about misconduct on the part of his superior officer, Lieutenant Carl Black. Black was subsequently demoted to sergeant. His case is also on appeal. Gentile had maintained all along that Black was trying to help her get off the streets. Gentile's attorney says it was Averick she was afraid of.
For the last 7 or 8 or 9 months, she had indicated to me that she feared for her life, that from the time that she had made a complaint against a member of the police force, she feared retaliation.
Had he ever made any threats to her?
To my knowledge, no.
Gentile, who was convicted of prostitution, began serving a 90-day jail sentence March 13th. On that day, she handed her attorney an audio tape.
She instructed me to give them to a member of the media and asked that they be played in the event that something happened to her.
So she was anticipating her death?
She was fearful of her death.
Well, Donna Gentile has been called a convicted prostitute, a liar, a person who would burn members of the police department. What would you call her? How would you describe her?
She was a convicted prostitute, whatever that means. A liar she was not. Out to burn a cop? No.
You're listening to Discover Joyous Love. I'm your host, Anita DeFrancesco. Our topic today is a true crime cold case story on a book I wrote, The Donna Gentile Story, which can be found at thedonnagentilestory.com. And you can also look up my other website, tantrawisdom.com. I wanted to just give you a little bit more information on the case. This high-profile story about my first cousin exploded in the media. It went viral in 1985. and was nationally televised. Artists unveiled the billboard again with this logo, the NHI, bearing Donna's picture, facing it toward the San Diego Police Department headquarters. We believe that her murder was a cover-up, perhaps of police incompetence or perhaps of something much more sinister. Police try to label all sex workers as criminals. In fact, many young women are victims of sex trafficking who have been coerced into prostitution, and sometimes the police are complicit in this. So needless to say, Donna was a woman with a voice. It's Your Voice is the logo that I have created on bags. If you buy the book, you get a bag. It says It's Your Voice. And this is a logo I've created because she was a woman with strength. She didn't have fear, but yet her resiliency overpowered her ego. And this is where she needed help, but didn't realize it, that in those times, a woman did not have her voice. A woman was not able to do and say on her own what she wanted to do. She needed the help of other women. I'd say my book is a good read for women, especially because I talk about a lot of different things in here about women and the strength of a woman. And here's one excerpt that I have in the book about women in the chapter, A Voice for All Women, which is at the end of the book. Women in all walks of life are vulnerable. They seek love, protection, support, and security. Those who work in the sex industry are no exception. Admittedly, they are stigmatized because they are engaging in illegal activity. But they are part of the fabric of society providing a service. It has always been so. You can find prostitution talked about in the earliest books of the Old Testament in the Bible. The ancient Greek and Roman civilizations had palaces for prostitution. Sex has always been a prominent service industry. Let's face it, if there weren't a real demand for such service, the profession couldn't be sustained. All in all, a woman is a person, regardless of her work. And her voice deserves attention and reflection. Donna Gentile, it's her voice. And yes, she certainly deserved to have, especially that she was helping the Internal Affairs Department. And she certainly deserved to be protected. And she certainly didn't deserve to be murdered for no reason. It was a senseless murder. There was no reason for this murder to happen, only because she knew too much, perhaps, according to them, after they used her to report on corrupt policemen. But let me see if I can find you another excerpt from the book here. So I'll just read you another clip here another passage from the book in the chapter, Prostitution, Police, and Politics. So what I say is police often took advantage of prostitutes by requesting bribes so that they wouldn't arrest the girls. This could be in the form of money or sexual favors. Both were acceptable payments for a cop to look the other way. A smart prostitute would take advantage of the system and zero in on one policeman or more so that they could keep doing their thing as hassle-free as possible. So keeping in mind that street workers, drug addicts on the street, they try to parallel their lives with the police, either to become friends with them so that their life becomes hassle-free, or they work deals. And policemen are not perfect people either. You know, there are policemen in the world that get high, just like the everyday person, that go out and pay for sex. They do everything that the everyday person does. So it's not unusual for policemen to get entangled in such a world, an underworld, as we'll say. So I'm just going to leave you with one more thing here. So the Donna Gentile story is a story about a brave woman who stood up for her rights and was betrayed when she asked for help from the people that we put in power. And here is a proverb that I have. By definition, a fearless woman is strong when it comes to facing hard situations. They are confident in who they are and what they believe, And in their example of fearlessness, they encourage others to be courageous and make a difference. While many think of men first when it comes to these strong figures, there are also a number of important women in the Bible who inspire, not only because of how they lived, but also because of their rock-solid faith, even in some of the toughest of circumstances, because they fought injustice and dared to lead. We can learn a great deal from their stories, and Donna's is one story that we can learn a great deal from, because she fought injustice and dared to lead and save her life and save her soul in the world that she was in. Thank you for listening to Discover Joyous Love. I've been your host, Anita DeFrancesco. The Donna Gentile story can be found on Amazon or on the website, thedonnagentilestory.com, and that is D-E-N-T-I-L-E. And thank you again.